Stan Panionovich joins us now, the Fox Sports betting analyst and the co-host of the sports betting show Chicken Dinner. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hi, John. Always good to hear a chuckle from Steve Alexander, too, by the way.
He has a nice voice and a good sense of humor. I'm looking at your brackets, Sam, and you do have a potential perfect Final Four. But with 16 teams left, you only got 8 of them right.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised because I'm a person who likes to put a little bit of chaos in the bracket. Not to make excuses for myself, but I did knock out Florida very early, and they lost. They just lost to the wrong team. They lost to Iowa.
they lost to the wrong team. Well, now that's a spin.
Right. Well, look, people are going to have Florida in their Final Four, and they're not going to get points in the next couple of rounds.
Yeah.
I knocked out Gonzaga really early. They lost to Texas, not BYU. You know, I think I had some of the right ideas. I had the wrong execution with a couple of things. But in all reality, like, there was a stretch where in Vegas, I know you're talking about brackets, I'm talking about betting favorites. There was a stretch where the betting favorite won 22 games in a row.
Wow.
That's never happened before in the NCAA tournament. And when you look at the double-digit seeds, let's count the double-digit seeds that actually won the game this year. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's never been that low.
Really?
You just have domination. Yeah, domination from the top-tier teams. And that's something that we did talk about last week. The rich are only getting richer, and the strong are only getting stronger.
And the poor are getting poorer. And it's funny because one of those double-digit seeds was Texas, and they were asked if they were a Cinderella team. I mean, that's how hard-pressed we are to find, a Cinderella team, one of these little schools you never heard of that's slaying Goliath. I mean, High Point was fun. Siena was fun for four-fifths of a game, but they're not in the tournament anymore, are they?
They're not. And Texas, to your point on being a Cinderella, Texas spent the fourth most money this year in NIL.
Really?
So
really?
It's hard to put that, Cinderella moniker on Texas when they spent, the fourth most money out of 350 teams in the country. And, Kelvin Sampson, I know we're going to talk Illinois-Houston in a second. Houston's the 2 seed, and they're playing about a mile or two from campus. That'll be tomorrow night, Illinois against Houston. Houston's a 3-point favorite. I don't want to say Kelvin Sampson's getting ahead of it, but he came out in a press conference the other day and said, we need to spend more money. He goes, we can't keep doing this.
Isn't that funny to hear them talk that way?
Right, and they're a 2 seed. It's like, dude, you're in the Sweet 16. You're favorite against Illinois. You should win the game. You're playing basically in your own backyard. But why is he saying before the game, we're not spending enough money?
Well, how about
we need
the
more
X
money?
Factor isn't money, but you're a great dynamic coach, and you've got a good program, and you're good at your job, both recruiting and coaching. Maybe that's what you need more of, and you're still in the tournament, to your point. Sam, do you know who spends the most money in NIL on college basketball? Is it Duke or Ohio State? Who is it?
The top spender, you got to give me a second here. I got to look this up. But I know Nebraska was certainly up there.
Pete thinks it might be Kentucky. It would make sense if it was Kentucky just because that's such a blue blood basketball school. Not that they're the best team ever this year, but that's where the money goes. Kentucky, maybe? Although
it's not High Point.
High Point has spent a lot of money on their team. I did see that, but it still didn't get him the players. Anyway,
Indiana spent the most money this year in college basketball.
Wah, wah. Okay, so how about this? Who do you like in the tournament now? You still got Duke playing Illinois and Arizona playing Michigan, so your bracket's complete if it comes to that. Who do you like right now?
I'm not going to change anything. I've never been one to do so. Michigan, to me, is the most complete team, the most well-rounded team, and I love their coach. So I still think they're good enough to win it. But, I mean, if Alabama makes 23s, and Alabama's going to shoot 45 or 50 in that game on Friday night because that's all they do. They just come up and down the floor and shoot threes. If they make 23s, they could beat Michigan. I mean, any team could lose if not evident by Florida losing to Iowa, a team that barely won its first-round game. But I still think Michigan is the team to beat. look, I'm not changing Illinois over Houston either. The one that I think is interesting is that this Michigan State team is just it's not a team that I think has any pros on it, but I would not be stunned at all, top left of the bracket, if Michigan State beats UConn and then beats either Duke or St. John's and goes to the Final Four. Like, this Izzo team, it's a prototypical Izzo team. You don't know who anybody is. None of the guys are going to the NBA, and they cut down the nets and win the region. Like, that would not stun me at all. But I did say, you know, last week, the game of the tournament is going to be Illinois-Houston.
Yeah.
We'll see that game tomorrow night. What's that?
Isn't that the happiest occurrence that Illinois is having this little run? Because the Big Ten was so tough, and they were up and down, Illinois. And some of us are watching them more closely now for the first time, and they've been a fun team to watch through two games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, we have to also temper our expectations, which nobody ever wants to do. They did play Penn from the Ivy League in the first game, and then they played an 11-seed VCU that needed a 20-point rally. I mean, North Carolina's up 19 points in that first-round game. So VCU exerts all that energy, all the emotions of winning that game, and then they just ran out of gas. So it's a big step up in competition for sure against a very good defensive team, but Illinois' offense is definitely so, so efficient and very versatile. I mean, they go four or five guys that can shoot the ball. The spacing is beautiful, the cutting, the passing, and, of course, the shooting is unbelievable. They had the dunk of the tournament, too. I don't know if you saw that dunk against VCU. The Serbian kid, Avisic, just slammed it right on the guy's face in transition.
But I did see
another
that.
Really good game, if we get it, is going to be, and I hate to go one seed against one seed, Michigan-Arizona would be fireworks if we get it in the Final Four.
I got a minute left. Talk to me about MLB. Who do you like this year? I guess everybody likes the Dodgers. Is there any smart things you have to tell us about the upcoming baseball season, Sam?
Well, I do think the White Sox win total is disrespectful. They are putting 66.5 on the White Sox forehead. They're saying that's it. All you're going to do is be a middling 65-67 win team. And I disagree with that. I think their offense is better than people think. So I do like the White Sox over 66.5. And Las Vegas is saying, John, that the Chicago Cubs are winning the National League Central and that they are one of the biggest challengers against the Dodgers. And honestly, it's hard to disagree.
To me, the number that you think about when you think about the White Sox isn't wins, it's losses. And if they win 66, that means they only lose 96. That would be a step up. You think that's disrespectful? The Sox are going to be a lot better than that.
A lot better than the market. I don't think they're a 75-win team, but this offense has some players. They have a really solid kid from Japan, Murakami, who's going to be a big home run hitter. And if you're looking for a player to watch this year, let's go to the north side, take the red line up to Addison. Cade Horton, 24 years old. This is his time. He's going to be their best pitcher on the north side this year. That could be a kid that wins 15 games out of nowhere.
I hope Pete Crow Armstrong is more consistent this year.
He got paid, so he deserves to be more consistent, right? Yeah. How about that trade? Javi Baez for Pete Crow Armstrong. That worked out pretty well so far, didn't it?
All right, let's you and I talk next round of the tournament or so, Sammy. We'll be in touch, okay?
You got it. Let's get Illinois home tomorrow, please.
Boy, wouldn't that be fun? Sam Panionovich, Fox Sports betting analyst, co-host of the Sports Betting Show, Chicken Dinner.